Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Doing a Sunday strategy session here. This is actually a league I might have talked about a little bit here on a recent trade that I made. It's a startup that I did in early 2018. So two quarterback league. It's my first foray into two quarterback and some tight end premium aspects that essentially make it two PPR. It's 1.5 PPR. And 0.15 yards, points per yard, right? So the typical is 0.1, and it's basically juice 50%. So the juices tend to make it about 2 PPR. It's about the easiest way to think about it. So if you're graded at home, that's sort of what the process is. Startup in, it was actually January of 2018 that I did the startup, and so some of the strategy, and it's interesting because I do think there's a difference between January and August, right? Sort of how you make that decision, how you make that team build, the security, safety, and all those things is interesting. So it's funny to look back on this because critical mistakes I made. Did some successful things and made a couple of specific player selection errors. But some interesting trends popped up in this, so I'll cover those as well. It'll probably be part of a bigger deep dive that I did after reviewing some of the data. So I drew 109 and two quarterback. I figured it was going to go stronger quarterback off the board than expected. One of the targets for me with Matthew Stafford, because longevity, production, age, all of those things really, really struck as being targets in this particular format. So I had 109, and it's basically he is the seventh quarterback off the board in this format. So there's two non-quarterbacks that go in the first eight picks, Todd Gurley at 104, Le'Veon Bell at 106. So ahead of the curve there on Stafford. It's interesting when, I sort of look at these things and I go back to some of these drafts and you just look at it early, kind of make no mistakes early. And is Stafford multiple hits out of this? Has he been the highest upside? No. But in this format, capturing longevity and capturing baseline threshold usable production that you can sort of bank on, pretty valuable, because you're mandatory two quarterbacks. There's no running from that second quarterback. You can't flex a spot start running back. Like, you have to start him. So really critical to get those decisions right early on. So I went Stafford at 107, and then I went actually traded up for Jameis Winston, did a little slide up from what would have been my natural pick at 204. I slid from 204 to 201 at the price of sliding back from 311 to 401. So I figured that 401 threshold was I was going to be okay in that range. And I wanted to be sort of inside the line at a good second quarterback. In hindsight, I should have just waited and took Dak Prescott at 204, and instead I took Jameis Winston. This is kind of me before me being in on the quarterback profiles that I'm in on now. So I look back at this time and about how much money I left on the table not being in on Dak Prescott, not being in on Kirk Cousins, not being in on these guys. You get the top six seasonal finish, boost to their profiles. That's a really, really big missed opportunity here at this particular phase of my dynasty career. So that was basically, a couple of years before I was sort of onto that strategy. So that really is something I've paid for to some degree. I went back and I looked at the quarterbacks in this. It's pretty amazing when you look back at the quarterbacks in to start this. So it's Wentz, Wilson, Watson, and this is after Watson's rookie season. So that's really early on. You had Rodgers, Goff, Mariota, Stafford, Jimmy G. Then you had you had Stafford, Newton, Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo, Dak at 204. Then you had Luck, and that was coming off the injury. Derek Carr at 207. Kirk Cousins at 208. Matt Ryan at 209. And that's really the threshold there. Then Brady goes after Mahomes, and then Trubisky. So I looked at some of the data on this, and it's pretty interesting when you sort of go back and look at the guys who hadn't hit yet entering compared to the guys that have hit, and sort of what their career arc is. So I went back and actually looked. Prompted me to do some data analysis. So there's been 132 quarterbacks drafted in the top 12 of the position since 2008. So this is between 2008 and 2018. And I just wanted to be able to check some hits. So in that top 12, basically 16% are total whiffs in the first 5 years. Another 16% have hit once. Just over 14% hit twice. 23% hit three times. 23% hit four times. And 5% hit all five times, right? Five times to start the season. That's just the position as a whole. When you look at guys who had not hit before, right? So when you look at guys who had not produced a top 12 seasonal finish to date, the numbers are much worse, right? So there, of that 132, 20 had not hit before. So when you look at that, 20% of them have totally missed in the first 5 years. Nine of them, so that's 45%, are one-hit guys in the first 5 years. Two hits, 15%. Three hits, 15%. No one has hit four times, and one has hit five times. So when you look at it, the whiff or the one-hit rate, much higher. It's what, 32% combined for the position as a whole. And when you look at just the guys that haven't hit yet, it's actually 65%. So you're basically doubling. You're essentially doubling your odds of hitting, no times or one time. So that's a lot of risk there in terms of going that. And the reward, not significantly higher when you sort of push it out there. It's one of the questions that I have about, placing Lawrence this high. Mayfield, right? That was an easy mistake. When you sort of look at that data, that's something that I'm really skeptical of now. When you go back and look at this, and one of the things about prior draft data that really interests me is you do see some movement in the market. So you see some historical movement, but it is something that I think is really it's the best efficient measure of what we can of what the market was thinking at any given time. I think there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of resources and time and effort that go into evaluating these. And that's just something that when you think about, you sort of have to respect that prior. You do have to respect that prior and think about the mistakes that were made. Does the market get better? In some ways, but we're still making the same mistakes. So when you look at it, it was, 20 guys over the past 11 years. So basically about two a year that haven't hit yet. This year we're up to three. So you've got Lawrence, you've got Burrow, and you've got Jalen Hurts. So the market is overvaluing these guys that haven't done it yet. And that's something that, I'm pretty skeptical on now. So that argument of, hey, this is a longevity play. Hey, it's a younger guy. He's got more time. When you look at viability, it's much more likely that the guys have done it, particularly multiple times, are really your guys that are going to go on to do it again. You sort of look at the guys with multiple hits in this range. you know, that what their record is. Russell Wilson, four hits entering this draft, massive success. Aaron Rodgers, eight hits entering this draft, multiple hits. Stafford, six hits coming into this, multiple hits now. Cam Newton's the bust. That's largely injury related. Dak is multiple hits coming into this, multiple hits coming out. Andrew Luck, that one fell off. Cousins, that Andrew Luck fell off, injury related. Cousins, Ryan, Brady. You know, those are the guys. When you look at the guys that didn't have a hit in here, Trubisky, obviously, disappointment. Mahomes, a huge hit. Garoppolo, a bust. And, you know, Watson was a success. So, you know, I think it's really the one hit guys that are the, that really are the concern. So it's the zero and the one hit guys. So Wentz, largely a bust. Goff, you know, disappointing for being quarterback five off the board. Mariota, quarterback six off the board. That's an unmitigated disaster. Jameis, yeah, it was, he had a huge season and then has fallen off. Derek Carr kind of leveled out. You know, he's probably the really of the guys that were one-hit guys in this range. He's probably the best. When you look at guys that hadn't hit coming into this, he's probably the third best. So of this group up here at the top, where you basically have, you know, the top 12 to 15, you know, you know, just a little bit less than half of them had their one hit or less, and it's Mahomes, it's Watson, and it's Carr. And the rest of them, you know, more than 50% of them have been disappointments, either haven't really maintained, you know, what they were projected at based on their ADP, or have fallen off pretty significantly in terms of production. So I get the two quarterbacks locked down. Again, Dak over Winston would have been the play. In hindsight, Ingram at 401, so I lock in tight end one. He's been good, not great. Adams at 404. That's a pretty big success. Remember, I talked a lot in this draft about going, you know, creating some options, right? Having optionality, and Adams was one of those. And I took him over Julio, for example. And this was pre Adams' huge breakout. He's wide receiver seven at the time. So this was behind. Give you an idea of the guys that had gone in front of him: Beckham, Hopkins, A.B., Evans, Thomas, and then Keenan Allen, right? So really, him over Julio is a big one, right? Him over, that was a big call for me at the time. I just felt really confident in the profile, and ultimately that one worked out. Took Rivers at 509. That was a multiple year success. That's fine. You wish there was longer longevity there, but hey, you know, you sort of get off to the right start, then you can sort of backfill. He's quarterback three in that range. He's going in the 20s in that range as well, so that's, you know, that's totally fine. Watkins, 607, that's been a disappointment. I took 109 and 112 at the 7th and 8th slot of the draft. Dez Bryant, 905, that's a disappointment. 10.08, I took 204. The 11th round, I took Eli. 12th round, 13th round, 14th round, I take late second round rookie picks. Gio in the 15th, Jonathan Stewart in the 16th. 304 in the 17th, Ted Ginn, Latavius Murray in 310. That's 18, 19, 20. Again, so kind of backfilling, either taking, you know, running backs in this range or receivers, you know, rookie picks or receivers that that had a history of production. The rookie picks probably slightly slower off the pace than you would expect. So they tended to be values in where they were. Again, I had two first rounders, four second rounders, two third rounders, multiple fourths, you know, just keep going on there, fifth, as well. So again, trying to be overweight at that, and that protects you. One of the features of this league is that there's seven taxi squads. There's only five rounds of the rookie draft, and it's only rookies, are available. to be taxied. So that is there is an incentive there to be overweight at the rookie picks, and there's value there for sure. So that's something, an additional feature having those picks really can help you. So yeah, 21st round Vernon Davis, 22nd round Nick Foles. So that was probably a success there. 404, 23rd, 24th round Tavon Austin, Michael Roberts, if you remember, a big tight end. Kenny Britt, 26th round. Frank Gore, 27th round. LeGarrette Blount, 28. Matt Days, one of my favorites, 29th round. Disappointment. 30th, I took another rookie pick in the 5th round. EJ Manuel, 31st. AP, Nick O'Leary, Jake Rudock, Ryan Fitzpatrick actually round out. So that Fitzpatrick pick really hit and was helpful. Just a couple of a player of note here, Darren Waller, 34-10. So talk about huge outcomes there from late. You get Fitzpatrick getting plenty of starts, and Waller there getting all the way up to the elites of the position. So I made three trades in the league. Was really the big thing in terms of the trades in the startup draft. Again, I made the slight move up in the 2nd round to get Winston. I moved back 3 picks in the 6th round to get a future 3rd. And then I did kind of one of those sandwich deals. I moved up a few picks and moved back a few picks to get Dez. That was primarily the year one trades. And so ultimately I sort of get into the league. And the next aspect is the initial startup draft. So, again, lots of missed opportunities here, which is disappointing. 107, I took Darius Geis. That was after 4 quarterbacks went off the board. Barkley went 1. Baker, Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold went 2 through 5. DJ Moore went 106, so that's the 2nd skill position off the board. That was very early for him that year. I took Darius Geis over Nick Chubb at 107. That was obviously a mistake in hindsight. And then I took Kerryon Johnson at 112. That's ahead of Calvin Ridley, Josh Allen. Yeah, that's a mistake. Definitely the Josh Allen thing, wouldn't have made that mistake in hindsight. Right, I would have come up at 112 and taken him. You can't let that spread continue on the top 12, on the top 10 quarterback strata there. So that's one that, in hindsight, that's a big miss. That's a process miss I wouldn't probably ever make again. Sutton at 204, took him over Ridley. I mean, this is just, it's kind of comedic in terms of how some of this turned out. I took James Washington in the mid-2nd. Kalen Ballage, I took at 210 over Mark Andrews. So that was disappointing. Again, the day 3 running back over the day 2 tight end. I mean, I actually took Hayden Hurst at 304, and that was after Mark Andrews. So I think some of that, going back and looking at Mark Andrews, you could say, man, like that's, that's a big miss. But at the time, he was the 2nd guy on his team. And so that's an interesting how that went all plays out. I took Kyle Lauletta at 306 as kind of a developmental guy. I thought there was potential behind Eli for him to develop. Again, not much came of that. Both, and when you look at this, there's not a ton of hits in this range. Actually, DJ Shark is down here at 309, so that's a success. But plenty of misses in this range. Bo Scarborough at 404. Chase Edmonds at 406. I would have loved to have that one back. Jordan Akins at 408. Who's actually still on my team, Ryan Nall in the 5th. So, again, when you look at it, like all those bullets to fire, and I got not a ton out of it. So that's really disappointing. You can't, if I sort of look at what the mistakes I made, obviously taking Sutton over Ridley, I don't think you can do the round 2 over round 1 guy at that many times and get away with it. This is a good example of that. James Washington, I like the profile. I'm not really sure how I would otherwise pivoted. That's the thing. I sort of took a profile I really liked. I'm not sure how I would have pivoted from it. Goddard was gone. Ridley was gone. So there wasn't like a clear best option there. And I was taking a ton of Ballage in the 2nd round, so that was fine. I thought it was an asymmetric bet. So yeah, so that's pretty much the deal. Again, largely disappointing ultimately in hindsight. You know, you hit a couple of those day two running backs from a really good draft and you just fan on them. And it's just, those are tough things to, that's really tough. From a team building perspective, you just don't have a ton of depth when those things happen. So that's a big time disappointment there in terms of that draft. Had a disappointing 2018 season, which was the startup season. Ended up making a number of trades here. I did pick up a couple of extra force in 2019 in the rookie draft. I did trade down. I didn't mention this before, but I traded from 310 to 408 and picked up a couple extra force. So again, just constantly sort of churning that back end there to constantly try and be ahead on rookie picks. So that's going to be a continuous strategy going forward. So in the 2018 lead up, I actually traded Nick Foles in a third for Philip Lindsay in a second. So that was an uptick in the it was actually 2 seconds, excuse me. Nick Foles in a third for Philip Lindsay in 2 seconds. So that was pretty nice in terms of getting some extra picks in the 2019 class. And then I also traded Ryan Fitzpatrick during the season for a second and a third in the 2020 class. I also traded Adrian Peterson, Cortland Sutton, and Hayden Hurst in season for Leonard Fournette in a 2019 third. So again, didn't make the playoffs in the maiden season in 2018. I ended up 2-11, so pretty comedic there. But when you look at it, I was by far actually the second most points scored against me. So that was a pretty big disadvantage that I had there. But my points were actually like I think I had like the there was people that actually scored significantly less than me. So I was like third or fourth fewest in points. Again, got off to kind of a rough start, but actually way underperformed what I probably should have in terms of my points scored. You know, got a couple of luck losses, right? Bad luck losses from, you know, incorporating some of the stuff from the book. But the good news is I had the first pick in the draft. So those things always help. I was able to come in and add in a class that I largely identified as, hey, you just take your, you know, you just take the best quarterback in the class when it's probably a down class the rest of the way. You know, I've come around to sort of valuing tight end a little bit more as well in some of these, in this like two PPR format. I do think it's, you need to attack the position probably more than I was maybe in 2018, 2019, early 2020. I've definitely come around to sort of being, I want to be in the volume business. I want to be in the aggression business quite a bit more. So that's something, you know, that wasn't an option I was going to do at one, but you know, that is another option that I've also incorporated here in terms of going forward, just some, as a strategic pivot. That's certainly one thing I've really identified. Again, it wasn't at that point at 101. In a two quarterback league, the clear decision was to take Kyler Murray. That wasn't a hard one. That was the consensus pick that year. And yeah, I didn't really need to overthink that one. So probably, you know, in hindsight, maybe I could have traded up and hit one of those tight ends. You know, when you get a chance to take a tight end in the a first round tight end, like, it's usually a good bet. Problem is 105, 106. You know, David Montgomery fell to 110. So that was actually one of the furthest drops that I've seen him. Again, you had tight ends in there because of the format. You had multiple quarterbacks in there because of the format. Haskins and Daniel Jones both went ahead of him, but you had multiple receivers in there as well. So he actually fell pretty far, which is somewhat notable. I made a couple of trades leading up to this, which didn't necessarily go well, but I think warrant some discussion in terms of some of the strategy that I employed. I identified that I had a real need at wide receiver. So I did have a need, like I needed some volume, I needed some depth. Let me figure out a way to sort of go about that. So what I did was a couple of things. I went, I traded 403 for Josh Doctson and 512. So again, I'm moving back in a relatively flat range, picking up a pick that's probably going to be a taxi squad stash with a shot to take a some depressed asset pedigree. Didn't ultimately work out, but again, that's not costing me a ton. That's kind of the thrift shop strategy that I try and do. If I can slide down in a range where it doesn't much matter, the hit rate's really low, like I'll do that and I'll still take that shot. But you know, that's, I like to get the pick back and I'll just let someone slide up in a range. You know, I thought there was a chance that year that Doctson was going to come in and maybe lead them in targets and kind of fill in a wide receiver three role. Didn't work out, but it was a cheap bet to try and do that. Another one that I did, which again didn't work out, was Chris Warren. If there's a takeaway from this league, it's basically that nothing I do works. Chris Warren and 210 for Doug Baldwin and a 2022 third. That one didn't work because Doug Baldwin ended up getting medically retired after that, so that one hurts. And then in the rookie draft, so I made two failed trades that turned out to fail pretty quickly. I traded the in the draft on the clock, I traded 306 and a 2020 second for 207 and a 2023rd. So basically did a swappity-do. And I picked up Alexander Mattison, was the pick there. And then that was really the big move that I made. So I'll run down the draft quick. So I had my own 101, took Kyler Murray, had my own 201, took Marquise Brown. Again, I don't even, like in hindsight, I don't even like the pick, right? I just look back at some of these and I'm like, ugh. Like just continuously like, ugh. That's one of them. Again, lots of, I just look back and it's like couple years ago and it's just all the mistakes that I've identified that I made. Brown wasn't necessarily one of them. You know, I sort of look at that, like DK Metcalf went right in front of him. He's the 14th pick. Marquise Brown was like, you're collecting flying pedigree. It's fine, but it's kind of uninspiring. I hit the Harris Madison exact at 205 and 207. Daryl Henderson goes in between there, so that's a notable one. Didn't really miss on anything later in the second round. Took Benny Snell at 308, so that's a firm and complete. Kadre Allison, took him over Tony Pollard. That was a mistake. And then I took Jordan Scarlett at 411, Alex Barnes at 502. Drew Sample went between there. That's a mistake that I wish I had back. And then I took Demarre Crockett, the last pick of the draft, which ended up being a cut. Gardner Minshew notably went 5-11 in that draft. So again, I'm not going to be in the business of probably attacking that, but that's a notable one that went real late in that draft. Terry McLaurin went 309, so that was a success as well. Deontay Johnson 304. Again, I wasn't going to be in that business, but you know, just that range of that class just hasn't hit for me yet. So that's ultimately, you know, kind of some more missed opportunities, really. I haven't, you know, I guess not necessarily missed opportunities, but things that haven't really worked out so much. So soon after that, I was in the business of trying to get some upgrades on my team. And I identified Phillip Rivers as a potential help for a guy that didn't have that needed quarterback, didn't have a ton of quarterback help. So I traded Phillip Rivers, Darius Geis, and a future fourth. And in return, I got back Nick Chubb, John Ross, again, trying to fill in that wide receiver three, wide receiver four. Again, it just has continuously not worked. And I got back at 2020 second. So again, racking up those future picks. And I was basically replenishing the pick that I gave up in the Madison deal there. This is a big one that might sound familiar. I gave Damian Williams, who I picked up off waivers, James Washington, and a second, and I got back Elijah McGuire, AJ Green, and a 2021 first. Elijah McGuire was just a roster filling throw in. And I got back the first. That first turns out to be 101. That's the Lawrence trade that I just recently made. So that's the off season. I get into the season and my team is pretty competitive. In contention. Again, I have in so many ways tried to fix wide receiver on this team. I traded for Doxson. I traded for Doug Baldwin. I had AJ Green. I had Adams and Watkins failed. Like, it just has been a comedic revolving door of unable to fix wide receiver on this team, no matter really what I have done, drafted, traded, you name it. It just hasn't worked. So in this league, I actually got into, I was in firm contention, and was up there in terms of high points scored. I was very much competing for a potential championship, a potential bye even. And I traded my first and a future second that I picked up in the one of my prior trades. It was one of the trades from the 2018 season. So it was one of the early on trades that I took a couple years out. So again, just back rolling that. Just backfilling those picks just gives me flexibility going forward. So I was able to trade a first, playoff first, and a 2020 second. And I got back Carlos Hyde, who at the time was starting, and some running back production, and Julio Jones. So I was able to sort of fill in there. Again, I get into the playoffs, and I end up I don't win, but I end up getting into the playoffs, and I make it. I lose in the first. I actually lost in the first round. I got trounced in the first round, and I think I was the second highest scoring team in the playoffs. But I just got hammered in the first round. It was that year that I had just everything that went wrong in week 14. Everything that could have went wrong in week 14 basically did. So that ended up being the 2019 season. I get into 2020, so I'm without a first. You know, I've traded away some of my future picks to try and make a push in for a run. I thought at the time that I was making the deal that Julio was undervalued. So, hey, I'm just pushing my chips in for this year. I think that Julio is going to outproduce that pick. So I was fine doing that. Again, I'm sort of loath to trade away future picks just because it limits my flexibility and I don't really want to be in that business. But that's ultimately what I ended up doing. And so I get into the 2020 season, and actually I've just kind of run into some inability to get trades done in this league. It has since picked up a little bit, but I had multiple thirds, and then I had a fifth as well. So all that trade movement around, I ended up having four thirds. So I didn't get into some of the good tiers of the draft, which was disappointing. I would have had like the ability maybe to take like Herbert or Swift or something with that first rounder that I traded away, maybe Justin Jefferson, something like that. So that was disappointing. But I, Julio's not worthless either. So I took Cole Kmet at 302, again, tight end premium. It looks more like two PPR than anything. So that was basically after, after Dylan, after Ayuk, after Gibson, Kmet was my next target. So I scooped him up at 302. Felt like that's pretty good value. Darrington Evans and Lynn Bowden, 308, 309. Again, just taking pedigree falling. Devin Asiasi at 312. So again, just trying to take falling pedigree. And lo and behold, none of those guys have really hit yet. We'll see on Bowden, for example. I think he's got some he's a little bit interesting. Asiasi's probably a fail. Evans is going to be an injury away guy, and Kmet, is an asset at this point. Took Kobe Parkinson in the fifth round. Things pretty much fall apart that year. Largely, again, I just, no matter what I have done in this league to try and fix wide receiver, I just haven't been able to do it. Fortunately, I've had Davante Adams all the way through. I had Nick Chubb, I had Fournette and he went through the team change. I had Damian Harris, Kerryon's a disappointment. Latavius Murray's helped out along a little bit. We'll see on Benny Snell as well. But now, I'm sort of sitting here. I have Adams. I've got Julio. I've got AJ Green, Marquise Brown, Again, no matter kind of what I do, that receiving thing, I've tried to throw a lot of assets at it in a lot of different ways and just haven't really got it figured out. So that's pretty much my goal, is to get that situation all figured out here going forward. Ingram's been okay, but not great. Akins has helped out along. Komet, we'll see. But I sort of have some developmental guys. And then we're heading into the 2021 draft. And so the picks that I got way out in front, right? So that nice trade of the Damian Williams turned into being 101. So that's pretty helpful in terms of looking forward. I have 103 as well. So I have plenty of flexibility there in terms of what I did. Ultimately, I took the deal to trade down, and I thought a lot about how to try and do the trade down from 101. I think there's a lot of value in sort of moving out of that if you can do it right. And so I really spent a lot of time thinking about that trade. You go back, look at that trade, and see some of the strategies that I sort of talked about. I went deep dive on that. It kind of inspired me to go back and look at this team a bit. I have some options at quarterback. Right, I have Kyler Murray. I've got Matthew Stafford. I got Winston, who I think is probably a success, or who's probably a starter this year. We'll see what level of success that is. I don't have a need at quarterback. Again, I don't think you should draft for a need at quarterback. But with my deal, I'm giving myself more flexibility. So I give up 101 Nick Chubb. I get back David Montgomery, 104, 106, and a future third. So some of the trades that I made in terms of like the non-receiver stuff have helped, but it's just constantly I've been behind at the receiver position, and I've lacked some of the ceiling at quarterback and tight end as well. And just to put that all together, it's been a subpar performance so far, undoubtedly. So I sit here now at 103, 104, 106, in this draft, in the 2021 draft, I spent a lot of time thinking about how we can best optimize this draft, and this is for both me and for you guys, for you all listening to the podcast, thinking about how we sort of go about putting together the best possible strategy. I think there's a lot of game theory here, so I'm assuming that Trevor Lawrence is going to go first. I assume that a quarterback probably goes two. And when you sort of look at, when you look at the team that is at two, there is certainly a potential that they go quarterback, Jacob Eason, Taysom Hill, Baker Mayfield, Jarrett Stidham. So I think it's the most likely outcome is that they go quarterback. So I'm sitting at 3 and 4. With 6 also in my pocket. So I think a lot about it is going to depend on sort of how I want to go about structuring the deal. Is trading down an option? That could be. I sort of look at the guy that's sitting at 105. So I got 103, 104. Someone's at 105 and I'm at 106. Try and figure out what they might do. Drew Locke, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones. This is a team that certainly appears to be in the market for quarterback. Are they a potential team that, I could sort of negotiate a move down from and let them sort of come up and take the quarterback that they want and jump up ahead of me to do it? That might be something that I can negotiate. The other thing I'm thinking about too is, I'm locked into getting a top 4 quarterback no matter what I do. Do I want to take my choice at 3? Do I want to take 4? Do I want to take multiple of them? That's an option for me. Do I want to take running back and tight end? That's an option for me as well. I mean, I'm pretty sure if I wanted to, I could take quarterback 1. I could take running back 1, tight end 1, wide receiver 1, and really replenish that way. I probably won't do that. I'll probably take a shot at one of the quarterbacks. But I think a lot about it is the order in which I want to do it. Do I see another trade down, right? Is there a way to go from 103 to 105 and get a future first out of that? Even if it's a couple years out, right? That would be something I think that be also interesting. You know, keep tinkering my way around, keep trying to replenish assets, give myself flexibility. As I sit here, I think that my team could go a couple of ways. I do think I have some upside pieces to potentially go, but at the same time, like, I need more. So if that's a shot in the arm at running back, if it's a shot in the arm at tight end, and it makes me more viable in there, like, those are things that could be really helpful. You know, can I get a good season out of Fournette, for example? Like, I kind of need something to break right for me at running back. I've got good options at quarterback. I think I've got two guys that probably will finish in the top 12 to 15, right? They could both be top 8 guys in terms of Kyler Murray and Stafford. That's absolutely in the range of outcomes. That'll fuel me. I've got Ingram, Kmet. Right, those things help. I got Aiken sort of filling in the back end there, and I've got some deeper shots there at tight end. I'll probably have to work through. At wide receiver, I think a lot of it is how do you sort of remake this room? And I sit here and I got Adams, Bowden, Brown, AJ Green, Julio, and then just some add on guys. I got Sammy Watkins, like Zach Pascal. Still have John Ross. You know, how do you sort of how do you punch that up? It might not necessarily be wide receiver in the rookie draft, but maybe it is. Heck, maybe it's a part of that trade down. Maybe I sort of explore that trade down potential as an option, right? Maybe I don't necessarily need to sit at 6. Maybe there's a rogue pick in front of me and it makes 6 more attractive to someone wanting to slide up, and I could potentially do that. So lots of options there in terms of how to go about this. Again, I think you need to, when you're sort of in this influx, right, a very kind of up in the air. I think I'm probably less competitive than I am true competitive, right? If I sort of had to guess, like I need to really punch this up. But things could break right as well. So I'm leaving myself options, and I'm probably going to be, looking forward. I've got extra picks coming down the line. Figure out, keep replenishing that, and working to be flexible in that range. Constantly getting some, whether it's throw-ins, whether it's, constantly taking some spec shots at wide receiver, for example. Like, those things might all be pretty helpful in terms of just trying to replenish this back end. Again, maybe I flip Montgomery. Maybe I'm totally flexible on what I'm going to do. This is a higher buy-in, higher payout league. There's no VIG. So having upside shots, it's a pretty big payoff if you can sort of, it's really rewarding to be up there at the top. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, you sort of find yourself in limbo, and this is one of those teams. So I think you really need to think about, be open to all options, explore a lot of different trades, and maybe it's even you just explore one player at a time. Maybe you don't necessarily need to send out 1,000 trades, because if you make one deal, it might cascade into saying, all right, listen, I'm more into a rebuild. If I make this deal, I'm more into a rebuild. If I make this deal, maybe I'm more competitive. You constantly kind of doing that. I think that's an interesting, that's really a way that you'll see these pivots made and thinking about going forward. So that is really, you get to that point, constantly each, thinking 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, at the decisions that you make in the next 2 weeks might change how you look in the next 2 months leading up to the season about what your team direction is for the next 2 years. So that's definitely front of mind and a big strategy here. There will be more chips to fall, right? Chips being pushed in, pieces being moved around for sure as I get here with a little luck. So, all right, well, I'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.